So far, we're living an idyllic life. We have a promise, background, that this is going to happen. There's going to be a tshuva movement. People whose parents or grandparents were not necessarily observant, they themselves didn't necessarily grow up with it. The kid goes up in the morning, an adult attends a class, and they decide, I want to become more observant. I want to learn more, I want to practice more. Great, great promise. It's a mitzvah. What could be better than loving another Jew, encouraging him to do more mitzvahs, and we ourselves to be receptive and do what we can. Here's the challenge. Number 9. The mitzvah is that when you see improper behavior in a person, you have to let them know. Which mitzvah was that? Number 4. Good. Rabbi Tarfon said, I wonder if there's anyone in our generation who accepts rebuke. Rabbi Tarfon says, I never met a person. You could walk over to him and tell him, your tefillin aren't on straight. And he'll just go and fix them with a smile and say thank you. I don't meet people like that. I tell a person that he's not giving enough charity, and he tells me, what's in your business? I tell him he shouldn't do this or that, he should do this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I wonder if there's anyone in our generation who knows how to give rebuke. And suddenly, we have an eye-opener. You can't impose the rebuke emotionally, figuratively, in any way. You can't impose it on the other person. Person has to know how to give it. If you know how to give it, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, then the person will know how to receive it. Look at number 10, and this is what I told you, that I would only give this class if I can find original source material, not giving a touchy-feely session on such a topic. Number 10, Rav Moshe Sternbach. My opinion is that any time you want to impose observance on another person, it requires serious deliberation. Not so simple to impose observance on someone else. Even our mother Rachel, who stole her father's idols to save him from idol worship, didn't earn her husband's approval. Anybody remember the story? When Yaakov spent 20 years by Lavan. Lavan was a less than upright individual. The expression is Lavan ha'arami, Lavan the tricker. You try to do business with him, you better have a lot of lawyers watching what he does. Because he knew how to cheat everybody. Yaakov earned the hand of his two daughters, Rachel and Leah, worked for him a total of 20 years, and then he fled. Yaakov decided it's time to leave, and he left. He left while Lavan was on a business trip. He packed out. Rachel went ahead while her father was away and took his idols. Now, you got to think for a second what an idol meant in their generation. We all have crises that we encounter during the course of the day. You have a business venture that's not going well. You have a boss. You have a student. A person in the idol culture had an idol for all these things. He had the rain god icon, idol. And if he was having trouble that it wasn't raining, then he would pull out his idol and he would do whatever he had to do and try to generate rain. This was a critical component of their lives. You didn't like what the boss was saying to you? You ran to your idol room and took out the right one that represented whatever you needed, and you worshipped it. You did whatever you needed to worship it. It's forbidden. Not allowed to worship idols. You're supposed to be turning to Hashem in prayer. So Rachel took the idols away. Her father should no longer worship idols. Imposed observance upon him. What?
Was that the reason she took it? Or was it not for her?
Well, she certainly didn't want to use them.
Oh, well, hope not. But
why would she take
them? It's not all that clear.
She took them to save him from idol worship.
Okay.
Yeah. It's reminiscent in our day, the great ethical question was, is a child allowed to take their parents' cigarettes away? Very interesting ethical question. Are you allowed to hide them in order to drive the person crazy, in order to save them from destroying their health, but you end up driving them crazy? Are you allowed to do that as a child? Rachel took her father's idols. Yaakov declared, whoever took your idols shall not live. He was talking to Lavan. That event ended up causing punishment to Rachel, who died as a result. Rachel dies during childbirth of Binyamin. In fact, Binyamin is called son of the right. That's the way Yaakov saw it in a positive note. But Rachel had called the child Ben-Oni, the son of my affliction. She died during childbirth. And she died because of this curse, and the mitzvah wasn't going to protect her because she was not supposed to take someone else's idols. You can't impose observance. Delicate thing. Yes.
Did he say that curse when he knew that she was...
No. He certainly wouldn't have uttered the curse purposely to destroy her. But that was his expression. Like, it couldn't be in our family that we would take your idols. As against idols as we are, we wouldn't dare take your idols. No such thing. Now, there are cases where theoretically one would impose observance. There are cases that the high court in Jerusalem could theoretically, you know, even in practice. But for a person on an individual level, to go ahead and impose, even though we'll see there are cases you do impose observance, let's say on a child as part of education, but his point is it requires deliberation. Not a simple thing. And he continues, sometimes such an attempt to force observance on another person can have serious repercussions. It's possible that Lavan's fury with Yaakov's family resulted from the fact that his idols were stolen. Even though Lavan makes a big deal about how Yaakov ran away without saying goodbye. But honestly, it could be that he really was angry because something that was very much himself was taken away from him. And that's not the way that spiritual growth is properly accomplished. You can't impose it. You can bait the person almost. You can encourage them. You can tell them the greatness of whatever it is. Stop worshiping idols. But ultimately, you can't twist their arm unless with enormous deliberation. There could be cases where that's what the person really wants, but basically, it's just not done that way. Yeah?
Is it applicable on somebody who not quite there yet, or on somebody who is already observant and then they just decided to step it down? I mean, don't
that's
we
a
have
very
any
good
Jewish
question.
Law, you know, cases where it can be punished up to death if you
even capital punishment,
can
correct.
Be, yeah.
Correct. I think his phrase was very well chosen. He says deliberation. There are cases where a high court can impose serious penalties, even in our time where we don't impose capital punishment, but you certainly can impose serious punishments of different types, even if they're not capital punishments. You'll go, there's a synagogue in Amsterdam that has the membership book open to the page in which Baruch Spinoza's name is crossed out mm-hmm. of the ledger when they revoked his membership. He was a member of the Orthodox community. Crossed it out. There are cases where we come down hard. We go ahead and say that this guy is doing or preaching or whatever, and we come down hard. Whether that's a smart thing to do, or did he become more famous because we made a big deal about him? Interesting questions. There are times where you could impose sanctions, but I think the most critical, you know, it's not black and white that we never do or we always do. I think it's very important to understand the word deliberation. Again, on children, there are times that you impose observance.